The Around the NFL Podcast does not kowtow to sponsors.
You can say that again. Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, we are unsponsored, unbeholden, but beloved around the NFL Podcast.
By dozens.
Unbeholden.
Is that a word?
Yeah. So that means we're just going to take shots at all show.
We're not in anybody's pocket. Greg, I thought you had
Let's talk Deflategate right off the top. Roger Goodell.
Shooting from behind bulletproof glass right here.
I thought you had a nice couple tweets, Greg. I even banged off a little retweet yesterday. We are now, the OTAs are in full swing, and Greg had a real, what I call, clear-eyed look at what's going on in the NFL. What did you say on Twitter that I really agreed with,
Greg? I think I said, you know, we all love football. We all like to follow it closely, but, you know, OTA season has no real predictive value. You're better off. I was thinking of my days back at RotoWorld when we would do the rankings, and I was saying some of my mistakes doing rankings, you'd be better off if you just took a nap from May to August.
Sign me
up.
Not
going to really learn anything. May through July.
August? This is coming from the boss. You're basically saying it would be fine for us, and, you know, it'd be a time to recharge our batteries, just basically not be at the workplace.
There's some nuance to this.
Yes. I'm saying it's not predictive. I don't think it should change your opinions on things. There's still news. I think it's a good time to prepare for the season and inform yourself of what's going on in position battles. It's good to know who's injured or who's not, but I don't think it should be changing your idea of who's good or bad.
I think that's well said. It's not predictive, but it is helpful to store those names in your head.
Yes.
And factor all the depth chart changes going on, rookies standing out. But until you see these people play.
Well, they're not playing football. They're playing touch football.
Which is a different sport.
Which with no real pass rush. And like the Eagles, there's a perfect example. I found a column that said in the Philadelphia Inquirer, Sam Bradford has been the best player on the Eagles this offseason.
Come back.
I found another article by the Philly media where it said there's been no difference between the three quarterbacks. And I found another one that thought Carson Wentz is mentally ahead of Sam Bradford learning the offense. So this is like, what are we talking about?
Part of the issue is that beat writers, as much as they're the lifeblood of what we do, how well do they really know the sport? They took a look at a practice and they're like, oh, this receiver dropped two passes. Bad practice. Well, that doesn't take any of the nuances of the game into effect. Drops are overrated.
Or, you know, Carson Wentz badly overthrew a receiver. How do you know if the receiver ran the right route? People are just figuring out what they're doing right now. It is May, after all. Excuse me. June.
Come on, Dan.
Yes. Nice show today. I'm going to – listen, call me crazy. I'm going to give this a pre-grade show of an A.
Wow.
Put a little pressure on you guys.
That's a lot of pressure, especially for, you know, middle of May, Thursday.
Or early June.
Five words.
I've been in meetings all day. I feel like I haven't.
Why does half the room think it's still May?
Five words, guys. And it could have been taken right out of an RG3 tweet from 2013. Don't afraid to be great.
Don't afraid to be great.
Whoops. Don't be afraid to be great. Six words.
Two of which are 33% of that sentence is occupied by the word be.
Yeah. Anyway, here we go. We got a lot to get to. We're going to bring back one of our favorite games. What's more likely?
What's more likely?
Gotta love what's more likely.
I think it was the counting the numbers of the words that tripped you up.
Well, you know.
That was five words. Don't afraid, be great.
Yeah. Whatever it was. Famously, I got a 39 on a state mandated math test. So I was so busy cooking up the number of words that the language tripped me up. Usually it's the other way around.
You're a pro. It's understandable, but you're not, you know, you are human. Once in a blue moon, an error will creep across.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for pointing that out. And some news to get to from around the NFL, which is how we got our name, by the way. And also we're going to have get somebody on the phone because of a big bombshell that dropped in the newsroom regarding the Shield, our company softball team, which continues our season tonight against one of our big rivals, Wes.
We haven't even played them yet, and they're a big rival.
Yeah, they're a 3-2 team. The name of the team escapes me right now. Do you remember?
Barney's.
Nope.
The Flying Sheep.
The Flying Sheep. The Irishman chimes in with the Irishman, our third baseman tonight. And speaking of the Irishman, what's up, buddy?
I'm so ready for this game tonight.
I know you are. You're one of my warriors. You're like my Paul O'Neill.
I'm ready to go.
All right, baby. Let's do some news.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
That's the woman that Mark picked up last week.
Not accurate. She was of middle size.
Large Marge, and that's
middle aged. You said she
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
She was middle size. She wasn't especially big or small. It wasn't a characteristic that stood out.
You're talking about the hitchhiker you picked up. Was she? She's an older lady.
I wouldn't say she was a hitchhiker. She wasn't. I'm not going to get back into this. She was walking down the street. She wasn't actively looking for someone to pick her up.
So you weren't a liar.
And she's been maligned on Twitter, and I don't appreciate it.
Well, so. The way you tell it, she almost should have been a little wary of you. She wasn't even looking for Biden. Some guy just pulls up, hey, lady.
Let's not forget about this. This was a roll of the dice on both sides of the fence.
No. I didn't roll up, Greg. Thanks for telling me how it went. I was there, and, you know, she and I saw each other from 400 yards away. She saw I was
Kismet.
I wasn't some, like, you know, hooligan driving 600 miles a road down the state. I stopped and said, you know, would you like a ride? That's enough.
And when you saw it, like.
Case closed, subject done.
Did music start coming off in your head?
Not like even remotely.
Birds tweeting? And
not at all.
We'll start with the San Francisco 49ers, who are going to have a little camp battle between Blaine Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick to be the team's starting quarterback. Yikes. But at the same time, where is Colin Kaepernick at health-wise, the team's offensive coordinator? Mark, who is the offensive coordinator of the Niners? You are an expert in this category.
This one I forgot. It's he was trending on Twitter, too.
Anybody?
Old Curtis Modkins, I
believe. Curtis
Modkins. Good job, buddy. Modkins said Thursday that the team is waiting for Kaepernick to get healthy before a full-fledged competition with Gabbert begins. And when will he be healthy? Here's what Modkins say. I have no idea. We as coaches, our jobs are to coach who's out there on the field practicing. Whenever they say Colin's healthy, I'm sure he'll be there. He's around us. He's in the meetings. He's doing a great job. It's not up to me when he's released. So we'll see. Interesting choice of words. Greg, your thoughts?
I wonder if there's more going on here. The timing is interesting because they were hopeful that he would be back on the field around the start of June or maybe mini camp. If he misses all of OTAs and minicamp, I don't think, again, you don't want to overrate May and June, but it definitely gives Gabbert a leg up. There's no doubt about that.
Well, the fact that the 49ers and Colin Kaepernick hate each other also gives Gabbert.
Well, right. And when I say there's maybe more to the story, I don't know. I want to see what happens here. Maybe Kaepernick's not rushing back to get on the field right away. Who knows?
Is he in all the meetings? He's doing all that, though,
yeah,
right? So as long, I mean, I think the problem is you're installing a new offense, too, and it gives Gabbert, yes, these months don't mean much, but Gabbert rolls into the later phases of the offseason with a clear advantage over Kaepernick.
Moving on. Mark, your greatest offensive threat out there in Cleveland last season, Gary Bonage, has a sports hernia surgery. He underwent that surgery recently. He's going to miss some time. He's going to miss the rest of the offseason program. And he will be back for the start of training camp, or so we hope. Barnage signed a four-year, $13.5 million extension this offseason, 79 catches for 1,043 yards and 9 touchdowns last season. Mark, was that the most productive Brown season this side of Josh Gordon since what, Braylon Edwards?
Well, Kellen Winslow from a tight end angle. But, yeah, I mean, it came during a season that couldn't have been more forgettable or meaningless, but, you know, it helped him. He got a new contract off it. Not worried about a sports hernia in early June. I think he'll be fine.
Do you want to hear from Gary?
Please.
I'm gutted, mate. Absolutely gutted. Guy Barnage here. I picked up a knock near my kibbles and bits. They say I'll be ready for training camp. Well, that's a bit of a trope, eh? You know what I mean? I'm gutted, mate. This is not mega. Not mega at all. Quids out. Gary Barnage out.
And that is probably the worst British accent I've ever heard.
You know what, Gar? I don't need to hear that.
I mean, you know, it's up there among the worst.
And for new listeners, Gary Barnage, quote-unquote, is not British. But His name dictates otherwise. Just the sound of it. Everybody knows. Guy Bonish. Whatever. But he'll be back. Mark, you're right. Not a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Sports hernia. That's never been a lingering problem.
Well, I like that, you know, we can brush it off. I can say it's not a big deal. Not a big deal to me. It might be a big deal to the person that just had a knife put into the lower part of
right,
his
yeah.
Abdomen.
Someone was at Claybon, Patrick Claybon, our friend, you know, as he put it, talking about a quote-unquote minor Sean Lee surgery. Oh, yeah, minor. They just, you know, knocked you out with anesthetics, cut open your body. And in this case, you know, change things around in your groin area for something called a sports hernia. I mean, that sounds.
I think half of our softball team has sports hernia right now.
we're really beat up. I'm returning to the field, by the way, tonight. We'll see if the hammy holds up. And by the way, yeah, well, to Greg's point, you heard the disappointment in Gary's voice. So hopefully everything goes well, and he is back by training camp. Let's move on. Mark, I thought you'd be interested in this. You're fascinated by diets and things of that nature. Aaron Rodgers, for years, played by something that he called, when it came to his eating, he called it his 80-20 rule, which meant 80% of the time he would eat a healthy diet. But then he left that last 20% to eat whatever he wanted, and he found, and obviously he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time, that worked for him. However, that is now changing a little bit, and you know who helped him get more serious about his nutrition and throwing away the 80-20 rule? Tom Brady, of course. This is what Aaron Rodgers had to say via ESPN.com. To be honest, Tom Brady is an influencer there because of the stuff he talks about and how healthy he is. So this is more about working with the Packers team trainer or director of performance nutrition, a guy named Adam Corzine, a more scientific approach to what he puts in his body. This has lowered Aaron Rodgers' body percentage, fat body percentage, and has him feeling like he's in the best shape of his life, Mark.
I mean, I like it. I think if you even I never watch golf, for instance, but I was watching it over the weekend, and I remember growing up, there were like
we always can assume that you don't really watch any other sports. You don't even have to give it a
right. It just happened to be on. But remember in the old days, there were always two or three giant tubby
junksters,
fat guys on the tour, and like I asked my dad because he watches it, and I said, "What happened with golf?" And it's like every other sport; these guys get in the best shape of their lives. It's the money, and if you're Aaron Rodgers, if you can extend your career into your late 30s, early 40s, potentially, like Brady wants to do, there's millions of dollars attached to it, and why not? I mean, you have the ability as a quarterback to have a nutritionist, to be in the best shape of your life. It's I don't want to have a quarterback that doesn't want to do that.
If you read some of these long-form articles about Brady and his nutritionist, there's been a couple of them in the last couple of years, you walk away from reading them with the inescapable fact that he has a competitive advantage because of how much he and his wife make and what they're able to do scientifically with his body. And it's no surprise that he's moving better in the pocket now than he was 5 or 6 years ago. So if you're Aaron Rodgers, who's probably making the second most money in the NFL, household combined. Yes.
Yeah, right. He has the means and the pathological desire. Let's face it.
We have in our house some Himalayan pink salt, and I bought that directly off.
I have some, too.
It's excellent.
You know what?
I heard Rodgers talking up,
Himalayan pink
in that
salt.
Pete Holmes podcast he did, he was talking about his diet in that one, too. He said Crossroads, vegan place on Melrose Ave here in L.A. I don't know if you've been there, but he was a big fan of the...
Maybe Sessler's on to something.
Fake burger.
And the whole thing...
That's what he said, it was delicious.
The Rosenthal diet is going to be looked back upon at some point, and humans are just going to say, what happened to the Rosenthal family line?
Yes, human history will look back on that, you know, 50 million year era where we ate meat as a mistake.
Oh, yeah, humans are getting it right all the time.
By the way, Tom Brady is currently hawking a $200, quote, nutritional manual translation cookbook that has sold out multiple pressings on his website. I actually took a look at it on his site yesterday, and it looks every bit the $200. It's like a rich man's cookbook. Mark, you're a wealthy man. Are you going to purchase that?
We don't even have $200 worth of food in our house right now. What are you talking about?
Do you know how I know it's sold out?
How?
Connor Orr tried to buy it.
Yeah, months ago.
Ouch.
I think this might have been a topic on the podcast, unless I'm crazy.
I think it was a private conversation amongst us.
It was on our instant messenger client, which is full of garbage people.
He wants to buy it, and I support him in that.
I'd buy it. $200, that's a little ridiculous.
Just to clarify to the listeners, the people on the instant messenger client that we speak with, they are not the garbage people. It's the people that created the client itself.
Well, it does apply occasionally to the people chatting.
Oh, that's true, too. The name of the I Am Client, I should say it, of course, out of, you know, respect for their company, is that will be bleeped out. Let's take a quick interlude on the news, a little break. I want to check in with a friend of the show. His name is Vinny Houseplant. Is that correct, Wes?
Yes, he's one of our favorite listeners, Keith, who goes by Vinny Houseplant on Twitter.
And he wrote the Hair Zeus. Remember that song? I think he wrote a banger about you, Wes.
He did. It couldn't be played on the air because it's got some blue language.
Anyway, so every once in a while he'll send us a YouTube video that's entertaining and a little bit disturbing. He was upset when he heard the news. I can't believe the news today that Wes went down in cornhole to the old Zeuser. And here's what Vinny had to say.
I'm informed.
By the way, can you pause one second? I just want to paint a picture for the audience, and we'll send a link out. He's in a shed alone with an overgrown beard, and his hair is crazy, and he's smoking a cigarette.
I like this guy.
Okay.
I'm informed that Christopher Wessling, mailman, the great Christopher Wessling, was outbagged by the molded one, Dan Hair Zeus.
The molded one. I mean,
that's how that got on the show.
I like molded this guy. One.
That was the key.
Do you want to hear more from him?
Sure.
All right.
Outbagged, out cornholed by Dan Hair Zeus. Making deliveries of his own, throwing bags into holes, dropping packages where they go. They all have New Jersey and New York zip codes and area codes on them. Wessling, what's happened? My world's falling apart. I'm living in a shed.
Just living in a shed, bro.
That guy's great.
How about that, though? I mean, the cornhole stuff, you're in a bit of a slump. Let's be fair.
Not in a slump.
It's one-on-one and you lost?
No, it wasn't one-on-one, but I would invite Dan to play one-on-one anytime for the high stakes of high-octane sandwiches.
I honestly don't fear you anymore, Wes, although I respect you. We were playing against two of Connie Fox's friends, two girls, and they were not very proficient in the game. So it was essentially a one-on-one matchup. Mm. And
I would not deny that I handily defeated you. In this particular game, Dan outthrew me, and your grandma, who had never seen cornhole play before, would admit that Dan outthrew me.
I mean, by the way, it's
Wes is still a better player than me, but I'm continuing to tighten the gap.
I'm thinking about buying the shed now.
Well, it's like a Wessling coaching tree to some degree. There's no shame in developing players who, you know, the only way they learn is by watching you.
I am proud of Dan's accomplishments in this area, unlike our friend Ali Bampuri, who refuses to do the spin and is as good now as he was 3 years
ago. Got to learn the spin, everybody.
Dan has gotten incrementally better every week.
There has to be some risk, though, that in this tree, Wessling is Bill Parcells, a legend, highly respected, a Hall of Famer, but that Dan could one day be Bill Belichick.
Mm, I like that.
Pass him up.
Or I'm Paul Brown and Dan is Blanton Collier.
You're such a Collier. Brandon has breaking news.
Breaking news into the around the NFL newsroom. Alan Hearns has signed a 4-year, $40 million contract extension with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
One of the top 90 players in the NFL, according to the other players.
Hmm. Interesting timing.
Why is that?
Got a lot of young players. They chose to re-sign him.
Wow. Because he was undrafted, he's up for an extension a year before most young players would be up.
I have no problem keeping around for a long time. That they're building one of the offenses that will be one of the greats 2 years from now. We'll be talking about
that. Whoa. Easy there, Sessler. One of the greats.
I think so.
On that Blake Bortles train again. You know, he led the league in interceptions last year, right?
I'm not getting into that with you again.
He and Allen Robinson are in the discussion for best wide receiver tandem. Certainly best young wide receiver
tandem. They got to start making some of those old school, like, you know, posters. Like the Allen Wrench. Allen Wrench. And it's got the two Jaguars receivers holding up a wrench or something.
Like a blasted out smoky background.
Yeah, something like that. The two Allens. I mean, We got to see the fine print.
How about
on this?
But all in way, with the Allens.
He's a solid number. He's a very good number two receiver. If that's essentially what he's going to be for.
Got some weapons.
Yeah. So we'll maybe get into that down the line when we have more details. But let's move forward. Hey, Wes. This one I want to bring up just for you. The Denver Broncos, the Super Bowl 50 champions, will visit Barack Obama at the White House. The final visit to the White House. For an NFL team to Barack Obama. So this came up in the newsroom. It's like, oh, what a cool thing. And Wes kind of
You didn't
went,
think it was a cool thing?
No, it was like, you know, it's a cool thing. Obviously, if you win the Super Bowl, you get to go to the White House.
What do you mean get to?
What?
You get to go to the, you have to go to the White House.
No, you don't. As we know, Brock Osweiler's not going. But my point is, Wes pulled like a get off my lawn moment. He's like, I don't want to go down to the White House. What do I have to do with that man? It struck me as un-American, Wes.
I said I'd rather fly across the country to Washington, D.C. to hang out with Dan Hanses.
Which was a nice sentiment.
Than to meet Barack Obama. I don't know that guy. What do I want to hang out with Barack Obama for?
But you said that it was basically about any president.
Wait, what's
any
his name
president
again?
You felt
Barack
that
Obama.
Way.
I like the
way
you said Obama. It with like an interesting cadence, like Barack Obama.
I would rather hang out with Mark Sessler than Barack Obama.
But it wasn't a Barack thing.
But you've already done that a million times. I would love to meet the president.
Of course.
That's a cool.
And you get
experience.
To go to the White House.
You go, you walk in the White House, you live, you see it. You see it once. You have a couple jokes with the president. That would be great.
Whatever.
Maybe bring your girlfriend to the Lincoln bedroom and close the door.
Well, it doesn't work that way,
have
Dan.
Have some fun.
You would be quickly taken down by the Secret Service. I've been in the White House.
My point is, the White House, as of I, it's a historic place, the most famous residential home in America, in the world, perhaps. I would love to go there.
I love history as much as anyone,
well,
but I don't
go.
Really care much for monuments and markers. I don't know.
But this is a living human president.
So?
Go meet him.
Well, I find
how
your
has
bit
he changed
odd.
Our world for the better?
Oh, well, that's up. I mean, that's
that's
also,
for the politics podcast.
Yeah, that's the politics.
I mean, I'm just saying, we're not talking about
summer.
Abraham Lincoln
summer.
Here.
Right, but I would have been happy to meet any president. Why not? It's just
well,
it's an interesting
I certainly
experience.
Don't want to meet George W. Bush.
You know, I was going to say, well, now I'm a little more. I thought this was all heading towards Wes making a formal declaration to get behind Trump in this upcoming.
I think we know
is that what this is.
I believe I've made my point clear on this subject.
Are your politics?
My only goal is to play defense against Trump in this election.
Wow. You're a big factor in this election, so that's
my only goal.
Are you guys are well? We're talking, you know, Tuesday, got a little election out here coming up in California. Are you guys gonna go vote, register to vote, and whatnot?
What are we voting for?
Oh, Greg.
That's personal, Greg.
Whether you're voting or not, I'm not saying who you're voting for. I'm saying, are you guys planning to vote?
I would not say that I am deeply involved in California politics.
I would ask you whether we were on the air or not.
I'll be voting for the president.
I was just curious. You're going
to
pass.
Greg, would you okay? It's not easy to get around L.A. to get to the voting booth. There's long lines. Would you okay an open three-hour window to allow the three of us to we're not going to tell you where we voted or who we voted for or if we vote, but can we just have that time to carry out our duty?
Well, it's a law.
Yeah, you don't have to ask Greg. It's literally, if you go in our break room and you look on one of those boards.
You have to
like,
go. But you have to go
You're allowed
do it.
To step away.
There are a lot of HR-imposed rules that Greg has swatted down over the years, so I do want to ask Greg.
Please. Please. Yeah, you can go, but you can't go to not vote and then
You do not need to know what I did during that window.
For you to have the time off.
You're not to be asking me what I did during that. I'll just leave and come back when the window closes.
You got a whistleblower.
All right. Finally.
I'm taking some time off. Go sit in the little.
Was this all just a humble brag that you're a good
American?
No.
I'm saying you guys can take the time now that he brought it up. Of course you can. Why not?
Yeah. Our.
I like how the podcast is doubling as a, you know, a company departmental meeting.
My voting district is actually at the Cozy Inn. Just
I live close to you.
Yeah.
Mine probably is too.
Yeah. So we'll
didn't stop. They outlaw that kind of stuff about 100 years ago?
I don't know. All right. Before we move on, time to check in.
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
To Greg's point, Trope you got to be able to see through all the BS. So let's do it. Coach Jeff Fisher, Rams coach Jeff Fisher, believes that Tavon Austin can, quote, double his 52 catches from last season. Man, that's 104 catches. I don't even know if Jared Goff will have 104 completions next season.
What's the record for most bubble screens in a season? I mean, how many other pass routes is Tavon Austin running?
You know, you tweeted that yesterday, and then I replied, he's going to lead the league in yuck.
And
then, you know, not my greatest bit, but then I got into like a seven-part back and forth with some person on Twitter that didn't understand the joke.
There was a lot of hand-holding going on.
Just kind of helping him through it. You can come around. You can figure this out. Come on, bro.
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
Jordy Nelson, who's coming back from a torn ACL, has declared himself ready to go at Packers OTAs. Here's his quote. If there was a game on Sunday, I'm playing.
What's not to believe here? Didn't he tear his ACL in August? He should be ready.
It was
ready
the preseason game.
He should be ready to go by now.
There is a lot of the, well, if there was a game. There's also a lot of players where if they're missing practice. Well, if it was a game week, I'd be playing. That's a big one.
That is one of them. That's maybe my favorite one. If there was a game tomorrow, if there was a game Sunday, if there was a game today.
It's your favorite one because it means nothing.
Absolutely. That's what makes it
a trope alert.
A trope alert.
Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert. Trope alert.
Hey, guys. Jim Brown trope has alert. A title with the Cleveland Browns. He's the team's consultant. He's been in communication with Josh Gordon, the suspended wide receiver. And Brown believes that Gordon is, quote, ready to take responsibility for himself. I've heard this one before.
I think it's a trope because the last time – well, I think, you know, Brown is giving us the information that he has, but it comes down to I don't think we can trust any of this until, A, the league brings him back, and, B, Gordon actually stays, you know, out of trouble long enough to be in a game. Until it happens, I don't think we really – he just doesn't deserve our trust at this point.
I don't even think that's the main trope in this trope alert. To me, the where Jim Brown stands with the Browns is an annual trope that Cleveland writers have been doing since 2002. It's always, does the ownership group or the new GM get along with Jim Brown or not, and what his situation is.
This is one of my biggest pet peeves among writers. Who cares what Joe Namath thinks about the Jets quarterback situation? Who cares what Joe Theismann thinks about the Redskins?
Well, he is on their payroll.
Right, he is now. But then there's been
– last year, too.
There's been times when Mike Holmgren didn't embrace him. That was a big problem.
Right, but this –
there were other former coaches, like the Mangini era, didn't embrace him. And so that was a problem. So it's kind of the where Jim Brown stands.
Bad organizations do a bad job with their alumni, and that had been the case for a long time with the Browns.
And Jim Brown's, to his credit, he nailed that Trent Richardson was a bust.
Oh, yeah.
Look, Jim, well, he called him. He called. He was not as
he
impressed.
He said there was nothing special about
the ordinary.
I mean, look, right. Look, to be clear, Jim Brown, probably the best football player of all time and one of, if not the most important football players of all time for lots of reasons. So if anyone deserves the attention, it's
well, if we're to believe Josh Gordon, I mean, until he stops hanging out with Johnny Manziel, I'm not going to believe that anything's
ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Cleveland sports, I just want to touch on this because I find this kind of an entertaining little subplot in my circle of friends. The NBA Finals starts tonight. The Cleveland Cavaliers go back to the finals for the second year in a row under LeBron. They're facing off against the Golden State Warriors, of course, who are heavy favorites. And, Mark, you're now plugged in to the NBA. And you're saying that you're rooting for the Browns and you're picking the Browns, or excuse me, you're rooting for the Cavs and you're picking the Cavs in seven. But let's be honest, you're rooting against them. Sneaky, because you want the Browns to break that Cleveland titleless streak. Admit it. Just admit it.
No. Hold on.
Admit it. You don't want anybody else to do it
but
the Browns.
Because any good thing that happens to Cleveland, I'm completely for, honestly. And I'm not
I don't buy it.
Well, you don't have to, but I'm not
backing
from
Mark
Cleveland.
On this. We watched at the garage last year quite a few of these finals games,
yeah.
And you were wearing Cleveland shirts. You were supporting them and saying the exact same thing, that because it's Cleveland, they've suffered so much. You just want to see them.
Absolutely. I mean, if I could have my way, I'm a Browns fan. I would have the Browns win. But if that's not the way it's to be, if it's going to be the Cavs, that city deserves it. Just
in
like
your,
just
in your
like,
hearts, you don't really, you're not living and dying on the Cavs.
No, I'm open
you.
About that.
Yeah, I
I'm open about that.
To.
No,
but I think the city of Cleveland is really now buying into the romanticism of Believe Land and woe is us and blah blah blah. And you want it's with like the Red Sox. It's how Bill Simmons became a millionaire. It's like, I don't want my daddy to die without ever seeing a title. You want the Browns to be the one that ends all the suffering and they become just the absolute legendary team.
Ideally, but I'm not stubborn about that. If that's not how it happens, if it happens another way, good for them. I don't buy it if it's a UFC fighter or whoever that guy who won that thing. I'm not. That's not it.
I mean, before Believeland was the 30 for 30, it was a legendary NFL.com article by Mark Sessler.
Well, I did not coin the phrase,
Google
just
it.
To be clear about
Who
that.
Who started Believeland? But you were ahead of the curve.
That's been around for years and years.
All right. That's what's happening in the news. I mean, it's not a serious topic, but I know you, Mark. Let's play one of our favorite games.
What's more likely?
Right, let's go around the horn here once. Maybe if somebody else has another one, we could throw out another after the horn roundage. What's more likely? Mark, get us going, baby.
All right, what is more likely? Frank Gore rushes for 1,000 yards, the aging Frank Gore, or Greg Rosenthal gets fed up enough with his off-complaining hirelings to ditch the NFL this summer for the shores of Massachusetts, where he authors a long-awaited sequel to his 1994 three-act play, The Winds of Edgartown, a Martha's Vineyard love saga, as seen through the eyes of Billingsley Xavier Rosenthal IV.
Wasn't this the exact same thing you did with the last What's More Likely?
No.
Except it was writing a tennis blog.
That comes up later.
What's More Likely? Sessler comes up with a new bit for What's More Likely? Or the, Browns. I don't know. That's all I got.
I'm not buying into Frank Gore in that backfield. That's the gist.
Oh, now you're going to make it a serious conversation about football?
That's my gist.
Wait, wasn't your other one it had to do with Frank Gore as well? I think you've really had a Frank Gore.
I will get my message across.
Frank Gore could run for 1,000 yards. That's not that much of an achievement. That's 60 yards a game if he stays healthy. Greg will never go back to New England. He doesn't necessarily really identify with the region.
That's not true.
He views himself as kind of a New Yorker because he lived there for 10 years. We know his feelings about New Orleans. Jesus. He loves that place. And now he likes it out here in L.A. So I would say that it wouldn't even get a medal. Wouldn't even get the bronze if it were a place.
Well, that's fair. Dan has lived in Massachusetts not much more, but he's more recently than me. I haven't been back, living since I was in
I didn't get the sense you were anti-Massachusetts.
No, I love Massachusetts.
I didn't say anti, but he's. I think you're done. It's not like I don't see you.
Yeah, there does not much. There. Doesn't seem like a big point in moving back there.
So Frank Gore would be my answer. Wes?
Well, I do think that Greg might be getting sick of his hirelings, but Massachusetts might be the wrong place to move to. Maybe it's New Orleans.
Mm. Mm. I like that.
What do you think?
If you change it to New Orleans, then we might be on to something.
Right. So we're not into Frank Gore, though.
No, I think Frank Gore could get over 1,000 yards.
He's
old. Going with that.
Nice player, though. Might go to the Hall of Fame. Probably not, though.
Good career.
Wes.
Time will tell, Dan.
Hey.
I'll go with the football-heavy one and save the other one.
Okay.
What's more likely?
Andrew Luck recaptures 2014 form. Ryan Kelly holds that O-line together. Philip Dorsett and Dante Moncrief make the leap. And the Colts boast the NFL's highest octane offense in 2016. Or Tony Romo and Dez Bryant recapture 2014 form with Ezekiel Elliott doing a DeMarco Murray 2014 impression. And the Cowboys become the NFL's highest octane offense.
I am bullish on the Colts winning that division and rebounding this year, and yet I'm still going to take the Cowboys because that is a nice-looking offensive roster, and I still believe in Tony Romo, a healthy Tony Romo being a top-level quarterback. So I think that is more likely, but it wouldn't shock me if both of those teams are top-five offenses this year.
I think it's certainly possible. I agree. The question marks are a little bigger with Dallas. Is Dez going to come back and still be Dez? I have some concern. And he, there was a report out yesterday that he's getting closer to being cleared. But he strikes me as a guy, and this is a fear of mine because he's one of my favorite players to watch, that he might be one of those guys that has a truncated prime between the foot injuries and the back issues. We'll see how he bounces back from last season, which was basically a lost year. And we know Tony Romo's one hit away from his career being over. I think the Colts are the safer bet.
I'm going Cowboys because we've seen – them come very close to what you just discussed. They basically were that team in 2014. The offensive line's still intact, and that's a huge reason for that. I know injuries aren't predictive, but, man, I think it's a tough sell that Tony Romo gets through 16 games. If he does, they can be great.
Mine was kind of Dez-related, so I will skip my turn. Greg, you're up.
Wow.
What's more likely?
What's more likely? Tavon Austin actually does catch 100 passes this year. Or
the other one.
Robin Rex Ryan lead a resurgent Bills offense back into the top five.
Defense, you mean?
Defense, rather. Sorry.
A.K.A. Mark Sessler's worst nightmare.
Or Mark Sessler writes an overly optimistic Browns article between now and the season.
Well, the last time I did that, Greg, I was at the Hall of Fame event and it went into Cleveland and came back later and never was reimbursed by the league for my travels.
Oh, so that's not
going to be happening again.
You're settling old scores like Rob Ryan right now.
It's not going to be happening again.
You act like that was my fault.
It's not your fault at all. I blame the robots running whatever's happening inside the NFL's payroll system.
No, right. To be clear, I'm just trying to get back at you for your what's more likely. I'm not sure if that was...
I forgot what the first two were.
Robin Rex leading the top, let's make it three Bills defense, or 100 catches from Tavon Austin.
I'm going to go with the 100 catches because I think in today's NFL, coaches can manufacture 100 catches for a wide receiver whenever they want. Look at the way the Dolphins have manufactured 100 catches for Jarvis Landry.
I feel like the Rams have tried to manufacture.
He's not a great player. He's a pretty good wide receiver who has 100 catches because they throw him short passes.
But he's great after the catch. The reason they do that is because the rest of their team, not a lot of great weapons. And one out of every four times, he does something special.
The Rams should have done that with Tavon Austin last year.
What am I missing, by the way? Tavon Austin's been in the league for 4 years now. They traded up to get him and saw him as the centerpiece of their offense. They've been trying to make him a superstar for years, and they can't.
What you're missing is he was a really good player last year.
Yeah, but, I mean, how close did he come to 100 catches? Yeah, right. What, 50,
well, that's
60?
Two different offensive coordinators, neither of which we would call creative.
Jeff Fisher's still there.
True that.
I would go with Rex and Rob. That, I will say, like, they probably won't have a top three defense. But if Rex had a nice bounce back season, Rob has had some nice seasons. Maybe they are a good team together and they make magic and poor Dennis Thurman is left holding the bag and kicked out the door in January.
I mean, we're forgetting how much talent is still there. Stephon Gilmore and Ronald Darby is the best young cornerback duo in the league. You still have Jerry Hughes. You still
have Marcel Darius. Their defensive line is a shadow of what it was 2 years ago.
But even though that's true, you still have Marcel Darius, Jerry Hughes, Kyle Williams coming back. I mean, compare that
Kyle
to other –
Kyle Williams, who's what, now in his mid-30s and coming off a series.
That's fine. I'm just saying compare it to the other defensive lines in the league. It's not like it's a bad defensive
line. I'm going Bills, and I don't buy into either of these scenarios on any level.
I'm with you.
Not even close. But the idea that Jeff Fisher is going to manufacture with a rookie quarterback in a run-heavy offense a 100-catch receiver, I don't see it happening.
Or Mike Pettine getting back into the news – because he was surreptitiously taping Browns practices from that house that he bought right next to training camp.
That would be awesome.
Sending it to other teams.
Oh, no,
to get
does he
back
still
at
live
them.
There? Oh, that would
no,
be so
I think
sad
it's team housing.
There.
I don't think that they're still having the
Wouldn't
coach.
Wouldn't it be so sad, though?
It would be very sad. Kinda funny. I think he's more resilient than that.
All right, I'll throw one of them out there now.
What's more likely?
What's more likely? You pick up a deranged female hitchhiker.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
Who turns you into a skin lamp. Or the Niners post a combined quarterback passer rating of 87 this season, which is kind of close to the league average. Maybe a tick above, but.
I feel like skin lamp. 50% chance somebody's turning you into a skin lamp when you pitch up a hick.
Wait, so
up
this,
a hitchhiker.
So this is saying if you pitch up a hitchhiker, the odds on this happening. Not that I will pick up a hitchhiker.
Right. It's right? Pick. It's pick up. If you pick up a deranged female, it's a female hitchhiker, she turns you into a skin lamp.
Mm. Yeah, it's like today's Squeaky Frome. You never know what you're going to get.
The Niners post pass rating of 87.
I'm going to go Niners because, I mean, we've seen, you know, that Chip Kelly is not a popular guy right now, but we've seen a guy like Nick Foles produce a pretty statistically pristine campaign.
122, I think, was his pass.
Right.
So I have no problem with, you know, honestly, in Blaine Gabbert, if he can run that system even pretty well, an 87 quarterback rating is not that good these days.
Right, it's not. We were talking about it.
It's below
downstairs.
Average.
Ryan Tannehill has better, you know, career numbers, you know, per year than Terry Bradshaw and Joe Namath and Hall of Famers. Numbers are easy to get these days. That's why I'm going with the Niners. We've given up on all this Chip Kelly love. Blaine Gabbert did pretty well with your boy Jim Tom Sula, Chris Wessling. And the problem with this is you were too specific with the old what is it called? The skin lamp?
Yeah.
I mean, that takes a lot of work.
Right, exactly. She could do a lot of different things with your dead body after she's done with you. Skin lamp's just one option. Niners.
I will say, let me just throw this out here. Blaine Gabbert in 35 career starts, 8-27 record with a passer rating of 71.9.
Well, that's you're
frankly,
talking.
Frankly, seems a little high.
You're talking Jags Blaine Gabbert though too. That was a disaster.
Not this new Blaine Gabbert.
I understand. We're not calling him Joe Montana's cousin, but it's like he's
Carl Montana.
He's well, operable.
Yeah, being related to Joe Montana does not guarantee you know, great quarterback play. As
ask Terry Montana, he's terrible.
As Tulane learned when they started his son for a year.
You're
by the
wrong.
Way, Colin Kaepernick's career QB rating, 88.4.
Passer rating.
Just saying.
Whose?
Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's
on the team.
I mean, he was awesome when he started. He walked on water. Ask Joe Theismann. One more. Who wants to throw it out? Who's got one?
I got it.
All right.
Queen City. Oh, do we need to do the what's more likely drop?
Of course.
What's
always.
What's more likely?
Queen City anti-heroes, Andy Dalton and Marvin Lewis. Lead the Bengals to a victory in January, ending the NFL's longest playoff victory drought at 25 years.
Stu.
Or Cincinnati native and recovered Bengals fan Chris Wessling finds his one true love, that one winsome tulip, nestled in the elusive sweet spot between slightly flawed and broken beyond repair, ending his 25-year marriage drought.
You were married? You were married at age 17?
Well, since I started dating.
Okay.
Okay. That's a good one. I will say that Wes has made a tremendous gains, really an effort more than anything else, in getting out there and meeting women. And I know he's met some women that he enjoys their company. But is Wes going to find the one? Is Wes ready to settle down? Truly, I'm going to go with the Bengals. I think it's more likely that the Bengals win a playoff game because they're due. They're really due. I think it's both things will happen within the next couple of years, but I think the Bengals are going to do it in January. You might do it in March.
The Bengals.
You might do it in March. I think they're going to be just a step ahead of you. I see both things happen.
Wes, unlike Dan, I believe in you, and I believe in your quest for a true love. And there's some, you know, like Dan said, there's been some good prospects here lately. The hit rate is rising, and I think you can do it. And the Bengals, as you've said, Bengals fans, they don't get good things.
They can't have nice things.
That's the right.
I'd like to think I can have nice things.
You'd like to hope so.
I think
so.
It's time for the Bengals and their little pretty little playoff streak to end. That thing is over.
Oh, and you're not even gonna make the playoffs.
No, I see Wes putting in the effort that he was not putting in or willing to embrace about a year ago. So these two things coming together, I'm pro Wes in this one.
But you're saying the Bengals streak's going to end as well.
You're saying that Wes is more likely.
Wes is going to find love.
But you're saying the Bengals
aren't
even making
the playoffs.
Aren't
even making the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
They're not even in the equation.
I see.
It's dirt nap time in Cincy.
Wait, I want to hear Mark's other what's more likely.
You have another one?
Yeah. Mark?
I like how he turned.
All right, we're returning, though, to a very damaging future. Mm.
I like that you've turned around your white-collar upbringing and now turning it around on me.
Wow.
Greg wanted to keep the show going just a little bit longer.
It was worth a hit.
What's more likely?
It's 2036. A war-torn America 3 is just beginning to embrace its newfound freedom after two civil wars and a military invasion from angry humanoids who came from below the sea. What's more likely? One, Greg and Wes, reunited after years apart, are living together in a ramshackle Iowa flophouse where Greg, with Wesley as his lead analyst, serves as editor-in-chief for Around the Battlefront, a review of weekly military movements in apocalyptic U.S. Or, in this same bleak world, Colleen Wolfe and Lindsay Rhodes become gun-for-hire bounty hunters in a matriarchal society, traveling from town to town, exacting revenge to keep bread on the table, while laughing to themselves over shots of whiskey about the fact that daily fantasy football was actually a thing.
We almost missed out on that. I am going that it's more likely Colleen and Lindsay would be vigilantes, and it's even more likely that Mark ripped that What's More Likely straight from his dreams last night.
That is not
from
accurate.
Dreams to the page.
Came up with it at the desk.
So kind of like a Charlize Theron in Mad Max type scenario.
Yeah, it would,
scenario
it would be,
with
it would be in that world.
With
I
Rhodes.
See.
I like that.
Colleen and Lindsay Rhodes is two undaunted women who could take on the bounty hunter role. And I think it's exceptionally likely that in 2036, many people will be looking back and shaking their heads at daily fantasy football.
That's true. And I love writing, but I don't know if blogging about around the battlefront sounds great. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's kind of clickbait, if you ask me. I'm with the Connie Fox.
Top 10 questionable decisions by the latest general.
We're all going to die. Five reasons why. All right. That's it for What's More Likely. Before we go, I do want to I know we get a lot of people that are interested in it in our softball team, the Shield, now 2-2 after a blowout victory over our rival other NFL media franchise, the Media Mashers. Big 23-3 victory last Thursday. Now we're back on the field against the Flying Sheep. But unfortunately, in my role as both a manager and the, I guess the owner, some type of high-ranking official in the front office.
Added title.
I had to make an announcement, and the announcement is as follows. For immediate release, June 2nd, 2016, the Shield make roster move. The Shield announced today that outfielder/DH David Ealy has been suspended for 2 games for conduct detrimental to the team. Here is a statement from manager Dan Hanzus. We value what David brings to our organization, but believe his absence for the next 2 weeks is the most prudent move for all parties involved. David must decide if his priorities are with the Shield going forward on Thursday nights. And, Wes, there was some digging done on the reporting front about why Ealy was suspended, correct?
I wasn't sure of the rules until I read NFL Media Softball Insider Kevin Patra disclosed through sources close to the situation that David Ealy had planned to skip the softball game tonight to watch Golden State Warriors and Cleveland Cavaliers, not even his teams.
That's disappointing.
So he was suspended for a game that he was going to skip anyways.
Yes,
well,
but it's more about the shame.
For next week too.
And he's suspended next week. I sent a message. So I figured, Irishman, if we could get Ealy on the phone. I know he's not in the office anymore, so let's get his cell phone and really talk to him, because I think, and the official stance from the Shield is no comment on Patch's reporting, but you could read between the lines. Let's now see if we can get Ealy on the phone to answer to his behavior and now his suspension.
Dan, I have our teammate, David Ealy, right here for you.
Okay, good. David Ealy.
Skip, what's up?
Listen, Dave. I got you on the line here because it's important that we clear the air on what happened here. The suspension, I know you've appealed the suspension. Unfortunately for you, the appeal is being heard by Mark Sessler, who was privately telling me that you should be released outright from the team. So I don't think that the suspension is going to get overturned.
I mean, that's troubling to hear, because I know that I felt that I had a good chance with Mark hearing my appeal, but, sometimes – if it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. I'm willing to sit out my suspension if that's what the case is.
Dave, I am willing to listen objectively, but yes, it is true that when I found out that, this team is at a crossroads, and I'm not saying that you're the Reggie Jackson of this group, but anyone that says, hey, I'm just going to go sit on my couch with my bros and watch like an NBA game over.
He said
being,
it defiantly.
Yeah, does the team need a locker room cancer right now, or do they not need that?
I just want to say, first of all, I was blindsided by the suspension. I thought I did an upstanding move by walking over to Dan this morning and informing him of my intentions to watch said basketball game so he could make the lineup adjustments as necessary. So I thought that was the right thing to do. So
let me
total millennial move.
Yeah, it is a bit of a millennial move. And let me just say that the suspension came down because while I was preparing for an NFL Now hit, I was made aware, because I have birds all around me, that you said that you didn't care about the team. And that's when I knew a message had to be sent, because I have teammates sitting in your area. It's very important that everybody is invested in the team. And when I have one bad apple run in his mouth, he's got to get shut down.
Now, I mean, I don't want to speak for your sources, but that's a load of BS.
Wow.
I love this. I love this team. I brought Capri Sun and orange slices for this team.
That's true.
I'm the one that's, for that.
I'm trying to bring this team some unity and some nostalgia back to when
not
we played
tonight.
Little
League. Right. Well, you're not bringing them base hits. I mean, from what I
heard.
What do you think about the source, David Ealy, that says there's a double standard here, that if you were a little more effective in the field, then you might not be getting a suspension here?
Well, I've struggled the plate of late. I saw a sports psychologist over the last week to try to tackle those demons. But I can't speak for my play in the field because I haven't been allowed to play in the field. But that's a topic for another day.
I've seen you play in the field.
Our official stance on whether we have a double standard is no comment.
I would like to vouch for David Ealy that he has supported the team. He has played the role of the team mom. He brought oranges. I think that should be factored
I'll take that into account, absolutely,
well,
in the appeal.
How about this? How about this, Mark? Well, let me first ask you this, Ealy. In terms of your disappointment level up right now, where does it rank, like, this suspension and the embarrassment that comes with this and, you know, what happened with your college girlfriend and how that didn't work out? Because that really killed you, I know. That one stuck to the ribs a little bit.
She gave me the courtesy of breaking up with me face-to-face rather than an email.
Wow.
It was a press release. And, okay. So, and finally, Mark, I think now that we're here and everybody's involved, maybe this can serve as the appeal process. You could either overturn the appeal, cut it. You could cut it down to one game. You could wipe it out entirely. Do you want to maybe give your ruling right now?
Yeah,
I don't want to put any rush.
No, I have a decision, and I think I want to say, number one, I recognize that you did bring Capri Sun, Dave, to the last game, and orange slices as well. And that you have shown effort. You saw a sports psychologist. But I'm not going to reverse or change the ruling at all. And it's not negative on you, but I'm not going to undermine Dan's decision, because I think then suddenly you have a team that's floating with a manager that looks powerless. So I want to keep Dan in full power. I respect his decision. And you've got the rest of the season, David Ealy, to show that you do care.
This can be quite the redemption story.
I think so, too.
That's fair. I'm not happy about it, but I respect your decision. And I'm gonna leave it at that. I'm not gonna pull a Brady move and try to appeal to the Supreme Court or anything like that. So,
why would you? You don't really care about being on the field. So I mean that you know that makes sense.
Well, that's certainly very classy of you, Dave. And I appreciate you getting on the phone with us, even though the appeal didn't work out. We look forward to seeing you in 3 weeks, and I think we could really finish strongly together.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is win one for Dave going to be a part of the strategy tonight?
I like
The answer is probably not. I'm just being honest with you.
Fair enough.
We're probably going to forget about this within 5 seconds of you hanging up the phone.
Sounds good.
All right.
Go get him. Go get him tonight.
David Ealy, the talented desk editor for NFL.com. Now suspended for 2 games. It's official. The appeal was denied by Merton Hanks, Mark Sessler, and we move forward as a team. So that's it. Good show, guys. Fun show. We'll be back on Monday.
Post-show grade?
I don't make the post-show grade. That's up for the audience to decide. But I thought you guys, and I can only speak for both the three of you and, of course, the Irishman behind the glass, I think you guys all did A-plus work.
Good job by Ealy, too.
Yeah, and good job by Ealy. We'll be back Monday, another full week of shows. And I think we have to, while we're facing controversies, we're going to have to touch base with Dave Damashek, who's been in possession of Chris Wessling's toaster for way too long. So we got to bring that to the forefront next. But that's for another week. For now, we say so long. This is Dan Hanza signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the boss. Big Irish behind the glass. Keep raking, Big Irish. Keep raking. Till Monday. Timeline. My heart aches for Dwayne Bowe.
Kevin's hair is scented. Don't forget Jersey. Yes, your love is a slipper, so hot shit. Cause he smacks me. Look over the chair.